Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 12. We were there last week looking at running with freedom and being free from the weight, laying aside every weight. I don't know if you're a pack rat like I am. I like to hold on to things. My wife can tell you that, and she's giving me that look even now. But here's why I hold on to things. I have the bolts and the nuts and the washers and the screws that my dad had. And they're in buckets in my garage. Now, how many times have I used that to do something, to fix something, hun?
Once.
many times. So there's many times. That's why it's good to pack some of those things. But there's a lot that we hold on to, that I hold on to, I should say, that I probably shouldn't. That's no admission. That means that we're going to get rid of anything. But I'm just saying, I'm a pack rat. But being a pack rat and racing don't mix. And we're in a race. So when we're talking about the Christian life, pack rats and racing don't go together. It's just impossible. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and last week we established the fact that that cloud of witnesses are those mentioned in chapter 11. They don't look down upon us, but what they did, what is recorded here, is a witness to us. "Let us lay aside every weight." Do you think any of those had to lay aside any weights? Do you think Moses had to lay aside any weights? And today we're going to look at the sin that doth so easily beset us. So let's lay aside the weight. We established the fact that weights are things that maybe in and of themselves aren't bad, aren't sin, but they encumber us. They keep us back. There's something that I've got to have that, that's nice, and pretty soon we're so loaded down we can't run. Those weights can actually become sin because they do weight us down. So let us lay aside not only every weight, but also the sin which doth so easily beset or ensnare us. These are things that clearly are not right. Perhaps they are weights that have become sin. For example, thoughts aren't necessarily bad unless those thoughts turn into worry. Now we're into sin. Hobbies aren't necessarily bad unless those hobbies become bad habits. Opportunities could become obstacles. So even the weights that aren't necessarily bad can become a sin that easily ensnares us. How do we know if it's a sin? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Can I do this and do it to the glory of God? Or can I, as Colossians 3:23 says, do it heartily as unto the Lord? Is that something that would fit there? You'll notice that no specific sin is mentioned here. It says the sin that so easily besets us. Sins which, because of your temperament, because of your particular weakness, you are most inclined to. A sin that besets you, ensnares you, easily distracts you, easily constricts you. You know what that sin is in your life. What easily ensnares you may not easily ensnare me. What easily ensnares me may not easily ensnare you. Something that is a distraction to us. I was reading about an article that talks about smartphone distraction. People who incessantly check their smartphones and surf the web are more likely to be forgetful, have trouble focusing. And we're talking about focus here. And lack of awareness of their surroundings. Well, you can see that as kids walk down the street, you know, going to their phones and doing their thing, and then they trip, they run into people. Even when they aren't fixated on the internet, a new study says, constantly staring at a mobile device or obsessively trolling social media sites may usurp precious brain resources necessary for performing routine tasks, resulting in these cognitive failures, British researchers say. Their study involved 210 men and women between 18 and 65 who spent an average of 23 hours online each week. The more participants browsed the web, the more likely they were to make a range of blunders, bumping into things, for example, or forgetting why they walked from one room to the other. These findings don't prove that smartphones themselves cause attention lapses, but people prone to distraction may do well to take a technology timeout and fight the urge to check Facebook, their emails, and so forth. You know what? That weight can become a sin that easily distracts you. You may not carry weight, but as you run, you become distracted very easily. What is the sin that easily distracts you? Think of that right now, because every one of us have it. What is it? Is it laziness? Is it unbelief? Is it worry? Name that sin that so easily distracts you or ensnares you. You see, if you don't identify it, you can hardly do as is commanded here. Lay it aside. How can you lay aside what you are not willing to identify? So I challenge you right now to identify that. You see the example of Moses there in chapter 11 and verse 25? The pleasures of sin it talks about, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is the pleasure of sin that he laid aside. And that's what we need to do. So that's the object, to lay aside. Here's the objective. It's found in the last part of verse 1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So, having laid aside the weight, the sin that so easily besets us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's the objective of laying these things aside. So, three things. First of all, our objective should be to run with understanding. Do sinners run? Christians run a race. Do sinners run a race? They absolutely do. Sometimes they are more dedicated than saints in their running. The Bible talks about how that some have feet that be swift in running to mischief. That's a sinner running. Isaiah 59:7 says their feet run to evil. Sinners run. So when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that you cease to run. You change races. You change the race that you're running. The Apostle Paul did. You know, the fact that the Apostle Paul was such a passionate man when it came to chasing down Christians and persecuting the church, that same passion that he had, he changed the race. God changed the race in his life, and he became passionate about running the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I keep pressing. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, he said. I run my race. And that's what we too should be able to do. So the race is not against other runners. The race you run is not against the person sitting beside you, behind you, in front of you. We're not in a competition with each other. We are in a race against evil. We're in a race that needs to be run by God's grace. Look at that word race. Let us run with patience the race. It literally is the word struggle, agony. Let us, with patience, run the struggle. Kind of interesting how this goes with the message this morning. What we go through, the agony. This has to do with a contest, a fight, a struggle. What is it that every Christian struggles with? Well, it's his flesh. Your flesh. For example, right now you're fighting sleep. Isn't that a struggle? I'm not fighting with it. I don't know why you are. I know easily why. If you were up here, you wouldn't be trying to fall asleep either. But it is a struggle. I know what it's like. I've sat in college classes. I've sat in chapel where I am just so dead tired. I cannot stay. Do you understand the pain of the struggle that I'm talking about here? You want to stay awake, but you can't. And it hurts. It literally hurts. You just want to close your eyes and just zonk out. And so some do. We all struggle with our flesh. We used to run with our flesh to do evil. Now we run against it. You used to do as you pleased. You used to just give in. Now you run against it. And so run with understanding that that's what the race is. It is a struggle. Now look at that phrase again. Let us run with patience. So not only run with understanding, run with patience. That word patience is the word endurance. It literally means to stay beneath, to remain under. Runners are not to let up under the strain, slow down, or stop for any reason. We sometimes get tired and we want to give up to get out from underneath the strain of it all. So we make rash decisions to enjoy temporary relief. But here's the encouragement. Others have run with patience. Who? Back to chapter 11. That encompassing cloud of witnesses. I don't know if you've ever taken the time to really just think about the struggle that Noah had. Who's mentioned in chapter 11? I don't know if you've ever really taken the time to understand the struggle that Abraham had. Who's mentioned in chapter 11? Or even Enoch. He is so briefly mentioned, we just kind of gloss over Enoch. But Enoch lived in a wicked day. He had a struggle. And so they are the witnesses. So run with understanding, run with endurance, that's the word patience, and then it's the race that is set before us. Run with focus. Run with focus. The struggle, the race is set before us. We can shrink away from it. We can be intimidated by it. We can give in to unbelief. But the host of witnesses that are mentioned in chapter 11 who have gone before in the race ran in faith. Look at chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. That was through faith, it says there in verse 33. Our focus should not be the struggle. If you focus on the race, you're going to fail. If you focus on the agony of the struggle, you're going to fail. We are told what the focus should be, but it's not in this verse. What's the very first word of verse 2? Looking. Now we're going to see the focus. This is what will help you lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily besets you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Looking. Looking where? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So our focus should not be the struggle. We should look away from the struggle to Jesus Christ. And notice too that the race is not something that you lay out before yourself. It is set before you, which implies that God sets this race in front of you. He sets this struggle in front of you. So are you finding today that the Christian life, the race, is really difficult? Listen to the message of those who are in heaven today, whose example we have in the Old Testament, Take some things off. Lay them aside. Those weights. You can't be a pack rat and be involved in this struggle, this race. It's time to get rid of some things, throw them away, and leave them there. Take off the weights, the baggage you pick up, lay it down. You say, man, it means so much. I understand, if it's something that's really sentimental, I'm a sentimental person. There's things. I saved my cast for Pete's sake once. And when we got married, my wife, Juanita, found it under the bed. She said, what is this? She jumps back. Oh, that was the cast I had on 5 or 6 years ago, whatever. Just sentimental. Why is that sentimental? I wasn't married, I guess. That's why. But you think, well, it means so much. You know what? You brought nothing into this world. And it is certain what? You can't carry it out. Paul said this, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. Take off the weights, take off the sin, that which you know is wrong, and lay it down, the habits, whatever it might be. What is the sin that you identified earlier that is so easily ensnaring or distracting you? Lay it down and put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof. Romans 13:14. Now, once you've taken those things off, run the race. It's a struggle. It requires endurance. So don't give up. Don't slow down. And remember, it is a race that God knows all about. He's the one who said it before you. Run with freedom, because pack rats and racing don't mix. It's time to declutter. What can you throw away? I'm not talking about what's in your house. Hon, I'm not talking about what's in my garage. I'm talking about what's in your Christian life that needs to be thrown away.